All right, welcome into the latest at Mountain West Connection Basketball Podcast Edition. Championship week recap. We'll give our off-the-cuff preview of Iowa State. Yeah, they won the Big 12. That's pretty cool. Good for them. MWCConnection.com, that's our little website. You can check out our probably 88% basketball coverage going forward for the next few weeks. Jeremy Moss with Eli Betker. And how was your bracket, Eli? How did you compare?
My bracket for the Mountain West tournament?
NCAA tournament. Well, you like San Diego State. They almost made it. We'll start there. You were pretty close on the Aztecs.
Oh man, I was close. And you know what? When you guys tweeted at me, when the account tweeted at me, when STSU was down 18 at halftime in UNLV, I was like, oh man, I'm never coming back to this podcast. But they pulled through and they played pretty well. Obviously, the Aztec fans are a little upset, and that's justified, but it was an entertaining tournament. I thought all these teams really put it on the line. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, UNLV nearly pulled it out when they were it's like, what is this Rebels team? Oh, home court advantage. They got this. And then, whoops. And then they go off in overtime. They score 2 points overtime and lose by 10?
Yeah, it was 12-2 in that opening.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But the Aztecs, I wonder if it would have helped if Malik Pope was more healthy for that game, but it happens.
Yeah, he was shaken up, and he played pretty well regardless. He was awesome in the win against Boise, but it would have helped out.
So what surprised you in tournament? Because we had the top three of the top four seeds. First time the tournament champ, or the fourth time I should say, ever won the number one seed, won the tournament. Like, what was any big revelation during the tournament you felt like, oh, this is pretty cool, or anything particular? Was it Nevada having to come back that second half versus Fresno? I think that's probably the most impressive part of the whole tournament.
I think that was really impressive. It was interesting and also strange to see what Nevada did throughout this conference tournament, because you look at what they did the first half of the Fresno State game and the second half of the Fresno State game. I don't remember what their percentage was, but their shooting in the first half against Fresno was just awful. And then the second half, they went 19 of 23, which was just absolutely ridiculous. They could not miss from three. They even had one or two and ones from three. And then they carried it through to the start of the first half of the Colorado State game in the final. And then they cooled off in the second half. They made only four field goals the entire second half against Colorado State and still managed to win. So like I've said before, the Wolfpack team, they're incredibly streaky, but they're fun to watch when they're on, and they had just enough in the tank to beat Clavel and the Rams.
Yeah, in that game, yeah, they started off big. Like, they got, cause CSU made a comeback in that second half, but that game, they were, I want to say they're comfortably ahead, but looking at the, because they weren't, because CSU made it close, because if you look at the game flow, they were up, 12 points in the first half, then the Rams came back where they tied at one point at 51, Rams were on a little bit of run, Nevada did, and then ended up being, it's kind of a chase. CSU just couldn't go over that. But it just reminds me, this game, a little bit of when New Mexico played Harvard. I mentioned this game a couple of times. When they back in Salt Lake, I watched them live. New Mexico, I keep saying Nevada because they're playing, but they're playing Harvard and New Mexico. What was that? Was New Mexico a 2 seed that year or a 3 seed?
I think they were a 3 seed.
They're pretty high up a couple years ago, like 4 or 5 years, 4 years ago, I think. This reminds me of that game where Harvard got out to a big lead, double-digit lead. I think that's the year they had Tony Snell, the Lobos did, but they kept coming back. Princeton right there, keep coming back. And then at one point, I never got to ask the question because I got cut off or wasn't able to ask it, but I was going to ask a point. Like, there was a point where in that game where, because this game, CSU never had the lead late in the game. They tied it, but they never got ahead, if I'm correct. It ended up being, 65-66, something really close. They tied at 51. But there's like about almost, I don't remember the time frame, but I just remember my question to then coach Steve Alford. I'm like, at the point, was there any, I know he would just say, no, there's not, because there's still time left in the game. But it's like, if you ever played sports or done anything or any games, like you're losing, you finally get that one or two, in basketball especially, 1 or 2 point, 3 point lead on one shot. Like, you finally come back, you get ahead, and you're supposed to win. You're the favorite. And once you get ahead, it's like, okay, we got this. We're going to win. I was going to ask the question in that vein, even though I know he'd say no because there's still X amount of minutes left. But this game was kind of like that. The Rams got just close enough where they were tied. Like, okay, we're back in this game. Then Nevada goes on a run. So those two games kind of remind me a bit where you get right there, you tie it, or you get a short lead or a small lead, couple points. You figured, okay, we got this, we're coming back. But the other team has their own, pulls themselves back up and keeps going on and goes for the victory. So that game kind of reminded me of that. But Rams are a good team, but Wolfpack just, they've been putting it together and they've been winning, and they just held off the run by the Rams, and they are the conference champions. Because this Rams team, we got Clavel, what did he score, 30 points? Excellent game.
Yeah, he finished with 30.
How do you, I think I mentioned this before, but how many goose eggs has Carvacho had? Or is that how you say his name?
Yeah, it's Carvacho. Carvacho. He has
goose egg. A couple?
Yeah, he's had a couple, but he's a decent player. But this team relies so much on Clavel. And it makes sense. Clavel is just an amazing player. I think just going back to your whole momentum talk, I think CSU tied the game up at 51, as we mentioned. And then I think Nevada was shooting free throws, I want to say. CSU turned Nevada over, had a chance to take the lead with a layup, which was missed. I think CSU also got offensive rebound and wasn't able to take the lead for the first time all game. And then the following possession, Eustace got called for a technical, and for crossing half court. I believe he was trying to call a timeout, but he got whistled for a technical, and just the momentum went right back. And you can see it on the win probability graph. It goes 50, when it's tied at 51, Nevada has about 60% chance of winning. And then right after Nevada's next basket, it just skyrockets back up to the mid-80s in terms of win probability. So I think that was the game right there. And from that point on, CSU had to play from behind. But when you rely on just one player like CSU does so much with Clavel, I know they have a Mogbo, and Prentice Nixon played really well. But they just didn't have enough in the tank.
No, I'm looking at – I won't go back to Gavacho, not to stomp on him a little bit, but three of his past four games, 0 points. And another goose egg was again is lost to Nevada to end the regular season. It's tough when you get a short bench, but you got to score something, man. Come on, right?
Yeah, it's an issue because you're only playing six guys more than 15 minutes a game, so everyone has to step up, and the imbalanced scoring it makes it especially difficult for CSU. But I didn't know Carvacho had three goose eggs in four games, but that makes it extremely difficult when you're playing 35 minutes a game and you can't put points on the board. And there's more you can add to the game, obviously, but you have to put something in.
Yeah, because he only shot twice. He did have three assists, four rebounds, and a steal, but you got to do a little bit more than that. But they had, and then off the bench, only had 2 points. The benches were both thin. Hall had 12 off the bench, but Nevada had multiple scores. It's an 8-point game. It was a close game. And then you mentioned, like we mentioned, free throws and issues. That's a big deal as well. I guess we thought more of the New Mexico team, but did you, during the game, did you notice, what do you think? Was Nevada just more aggressive? Why they got 35 to 11 free throws?
It was bizarre because about midway through the second half, it seemed like everyone on Twitter, CSU or Nevada fans, were fighting over, oh, the refs hate us. Oh, the refs hate us. Everyone thought that the refs were out to get them. I thought the game was decently officiated. Nevada's got some guys that really attacked the lane, and Clavel did it so much throughout the game. But I believe CSU is known to be a team that fouls a lot. They send opponents
which
to
is weird. Line. Which is weird when they play seven players.
Yeah, isn't it? Because you lose one guy and then you're down to just five men, which is tough. But Wolfpack has got to be thankful for the stripes, because without them, they wouldn't have won this game. They scored 20 more points than CSU at the free throw line alone, which is massive. It's unlike anything I've seen since probably a New Mexico game. That was the difference.
Well, and they win with Oliver scoring 4 points. That's a big deal.
Oliver,
as well. 2-9,
Oliver didn't
4 points.
Look right to me. There was something up. He didn't seem to be 100%. He was kind of jogging down into the court sometimes, and he was banged up a little bit, but
and only played 28 minutes too, so
yeah,
it's a foul trouble. But he had 14 rebounds, which helped. But man, these two teams also like to chuck the threes. It's like, come on, make a freaking 3-pointer.
They're about combined 3-point attempts.
About what? Not even 30%. 28 to 60 for the teams. Let me ask you this. So let's should we just go to the NCAA tournament now? Because what else is there? Do you have any other things you want to say about the Mountain West tournament? Anything interesting that happened? Or Nick Duncan's done. That's a kind of a sad thing. He's out of at least well, they got the NIT, but no more Duncan.
That's too bad. I like watching Duncan play. He was really entertaining. But I think BSU's in good hands for the next few years or so. It was a good tournament. I'm glad that even though it was a difficult year for the conference as a whole, the championship was fantastic. We had a lot of good early games. First day was bad. I'll give you that much. First day was pretty rough. But from then on...
Well, the Aztecs-UNLV game was... I think the third game was okay once the second half started going.
It was only interesting in the fact that the Aztecs came back, but
yeah,
just the way that the game was played was rough. But it was a really good tournament. I was entertained. It was fun.
Yeah, this tournament's always fun to watch. I've been to it once. I watched a ton on TV, obviously. But like, there were some blowouts. Like the Fresno New Mexico game was interesting. It was close. CSU Air Force was a stinker. There were a couple stinkers in there, but there like most of the games, like semifinals, were good just because CSU did enough to versus San Diego State. But Nevada Fresno was a even though it was a double digit victory, that 23-4 run or something like that. They were,
I think it was, yeah.
I just remember a point like Fresno went like 8 minutes without making a bucket or something. So should we get to the turn the and should we do NIT first or NCAA? What do you prefer?
How about we do NCAA and then talk a little bit about the NIT?
Sure, we'll do that. So NCAA tournament, Nevada. Yes, Nevada. We'll get to that in a minute. They draw Iowa State, who won the Big 12 tournament, but did they didn't, because Kansas lost to freaking TCU. Aisha had this up here, but who did they, do you know who they beat in succession to win?
I can pull up real quick. I know that they, okay, I have it. They beat Oklahoma State by 9. Oklahoma State's a decent team. They beat TCU handily, which is expected, and then they beat West Virginia, which that's a good team, but they struggled from the field.
Yeah, so they were the 4 seed. One, they didn't play. Not that you need to play Kansas, but they're the 4 seed. They have a. We'll get to more early. It's so early, so we're still doing research on these teams. Like a couple things, like I go to Draft Express. They have a pretty cool thing out where he's like, because those guys are like, hey, check out the top players from each team for pro prospects. And if you haven't heard of this guy, Monty Morris, you probably should. He, what does he do here? 16 points, 6 assists, almost 5 rebounds per game. They rank him as the 49th best prospect, but then they also have Nevada with Cameron Oliver. Was he 60, I think? 61. So there's a couple pros on these teams. He's probably the best guard they face. This is, who would you put better, Iowa State or St. Mary's?
Who do I think is a better team?
Yeah, who would you say is a better team?
I think Iowa State, hands down. I've seen a lot of St. Mary's games this year. Mm-hmm. And you know how I'm a fan of the mid-majors, and I really like Gonzaga, but I just haven't been impressed with St. Mary's. I think Iowa State's a much better team.
Okay, because in the ranking, Iowa State's not even, not the top 25 matter, but they're not even, they're 23rd, 24th. So with this team, like, we'll get to the fun stuff here. This game, it's on True TV. So also, let me give you a heads up. Follow True TV on Twitter right now, because they're going to be on fire. Because people are like, where's True TV? I can't get this game. True TV, what? You show that comedian show? You got that Shaq show on there? What is this? You got... Ugh. So follow them, because they'll be amazing as always. Do you watch anything on True TV outside of basketball?
I can confidently say I've never spent a second on True TV not watching anything besides the NCAA tournament.
I've seen a little bit. There's a show, Adam Ruins Everything, that's pretty... It's very hilarious, pretty good. You kind of learn while also... fun. It's kind of funny. And sometimes I'll watch that Practical Joker show on. If I'm just flipping around, if it's on, I may sit there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. So those are shows you'll probably see through all the ads every time when you watch these games. So yeah, follow their Twitter account. It's a good time too. It's a Thursday game. It's approximately 10 p.m. on the East Coast, so 7 o'clock, so plenty of time for locals out there in the Pacific time zone to watch this game. Not super late, which is good. Man, when I lived in New York City, it was tough to watch these games. Like 10 o'clock tip, really? We got another game going on? Oh, stay man. Up till 1 a.m. watching basketball.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm going to have to do next weekend.
You're going to be gone out, and you're going to be out there somewhere?
Oh, I'm going to be out of the country. So I think the latest game starts like 2 a.m. local. I'm going to be able to see the first weekend, but.
Where are you going? You want to tell us where you're going?
Yeah, going to Scotland.
During March, you're going to Scotland.
I know.
Who planned this?
You know what? I did, honestly. But yeah, I'm gonna have to figure it out because the earliest game starts at 5 p.m. So that's gonna be tough. But I'll be able to watch the first 3 days. So that'll be good.
It's good to know. All right. So, but excited to. What is there a geo restriction on the March Madness app?
I don't know. I emailed them. I'm trying to get this thing figured out because I need this. I wait all year for this.
No kidding. You wait. But you'll have fun. It's gone. That'll be good. You'll how long are you gonna be gone? You're gonna be there for the first weekend. You'll be here in town or not abroad this weekend, right? You'll be here.
Yes, I'm leaving Seattle Saturday afternoon. And I'm coming back the following Sunday morning.
Okay, so you can just stay up and watch the Elite Eight games that Sunday morning, right?
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'll make it work.
You'll figure it out. Go to Twitter. Somebody's gonna Periscope it. Maybe you never know.
Oh yeah. First 2 days are the best.
Yeah, that's true. Like after that, it's like I love the first couple of days. It's awesome. Unless there's like your team's in it, or Florida Gulf Coast is a 15 seed wins a couple games, I'll just watch for games. Like okay, that's cool. It's on. I'm not gonna watch every game in the Sweet 16 because the first weekend's awesome. But by then, it's like, oh, it's cool. You got good teams. I'll watch good basketball, but I'm not going to invest a ton of time or schedule my whole evening around that second weekend. I'll probably watch a couple, but just kind of tune in and out and do other things.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that because the first 2 days, the Thursday and Friday, I'm absolutely locked in because I want to see all the upsets. I want to see how my bracket's doing. All these teams and players I haven't seen all year is really fun to watch. And, you know, as the actual game itself gets better, as the teams progress, I think I still watch as many, if not all, of the games that I can because I enjoy the tournament. But you can't beat the first 2 days. Those are way too much fun. Those are awesome.
Yeah, even more than the Saturday-Sunday because the only thing hate, and they do this all the time, which makes me so mad. I get now. I like it's better. Tournament's better now because you can watch. You don't have to pick and choose on CBS only. You don't have to be locked into your area to where you live or let's cut away to this game. Now it's on every game. It's staggered. It's great. But what I don't get on that Saturday, and I think they do it Sunday, because here's what's going to happen. Duke's going to win their first game. They're going to put Duke at the early time slot, and that's the only game you get for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't get, like, I get they want the window and stuff, but the thing is they're on different channels too half the time. They may do a doubleheader on CBS, which is fine, on Saturday or Sunday morning. But I don't get if they want to have an exclusive for a while, do a half and then have another game start. Because when there's a blowout, nobody's going to watch. You know what I mean? I don't care. It's like, oh, great. Duke's beating this team in Greensboro by 20 points. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. It's essentially a home game. They're playing some team from all the way across the country in most cases.
But it's usually them playing that first time slot as well. No matter where they're playing, if they're winning, they're usually, if they're a Saturday or Sunday game, they're that first game, and that's the only game you get no matter what. That's my big beef I have, where you have True TV, you have TNT, you have TBS. Mix it in a little bit, just a little bit. It's like they do on tomorrow or Thursday. They'll have one game, 20 minutes later, 20 minutes later, 20. Like they'll stagger the games throughout the whole day. There's no West Coast only game like they used to have when they had everything start at the same time. And then they had that weird middle game where only if you're on the Pacific time zone, you can watch it.
That was awful. Yeah,
that was weird.
Lucky that all the games are on four channels now because I just being out here in the West Coast and you have teams like UCLA that's just absolutely dismantling like a 14 or 15 seed. And then you see a score on the top right. You see like a 13 seed that's nearly beating a 4 seed with like a minute left and you're stuck watching
Bucknell, Kansas. Get stuck. You can't watch Bucknell, Kansas.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I remember they used to do, now they have March Madness free, they did on DirecTV where you could pay like $70 or whatever, but even better, like it was, okay, almost better. It was about 5 years ago when they, because the March Madness on demand is pretty new. They had it 1 year where you had to pay $10. I'm like, I'm paying $10 for this. I'll watch on my computer. I'll watch on my crappy smartphone from 5 years ago that sort of worked to stream these good games. I paid money to do that. Now it's free. It's like, whatever. We'll get to later. But Iowa State and Nevada. Here is, we said Iowa, they won the Big 12. They're ranked the top 25. They're a formidable opponent. CBS Sports, they ranked every team. They like Iowa State a lot. 11. 11th best team in the tournament.
That seems a little high to me. I think Iowa State's a really good team. They're definitely a late bloomer. They're playing their best basketball right now. Because they have been a little bit shaky throughout December and January. But they have two really good players with Morris and Burton and a really good solid three guy in Long. But I don't know if 11, because that would mean that Moser projected This team is a 3 seed if you have them 11th overall, and I don't know if they're that caliber.
I should have it up here. They put the seed line out exactly order, but this is from Matt Norlander. He puts it up. He does good stuff for CBS. He has them as a dark horse Final Four. Morris is probably the best guard in the country. You know who Deontay Burton is, right? Former yep. Wolfpack player. That will be quite interesting. So let's get to the real stuff for this tournament. We don't care we care who wins, but there's a little beef on Twitter when this game got announced a little bit. There are people, I know, when we watch election coverage or coverage like that, when you're out in those East Coast randos, Brian Williams and whomever, Chris Matthews, those type of guys, mm-hmm. let's go out to Oregon. No. Oh, no. It's not Oregon. It's Oregon. And this is Nevada, not Nevada. And here's for those who are wondering, because we've had Nevada. This issue, it's this.
Nevada. Nevada.
Yes, one more time. Let's restart this.
Nevada. Nevada. Nevada.
Not Nevada. Nevada.
It's easy. Is it not easy?
It is. Here's the reason why there's concern or issue. There's a town in Iowa called Nevada. Or crap. Not
Nevada. It's got like, you now.
Well, I mean, they say it the other way because you got Nevada. They have a Nevada, a city called Nevada, Iowa, for some strange reason. Because Nevada technically means like snow-capped mountains or something. But I don't know why it's Nevada. Nevada. It's Nevada. And so there's people on Twitter, like guys from TV in that area on Ohio. It's like, how do we say it? What's the name? Well, I say it this way. It's like, no. So my good friend Parker Robertson used to do stuff for us. He made it simple. NEVA, parentheses, duh. Nevada, duh.
I saw that too,
it's
yeah.
like, duh. Duh, you idiot. That's what it is. So if you're listening, like Iowa State people, if you somehow stumble across this, Nevada. And then the best part was they're playing this game in Milwaukee. And yes, if you're on TV, typically you don't really have too much of a local accent. You want more of a, like you and me don't really have an accent at all, I don't think. They'd rather have voices like this where it's not an accent, where East Coast or Chicago or whatever, or Midwest, some Midwest are kind of weird. But there are people that have that just because. So how are they going to say Nevada?
I don't know. Hey, so I think some people, like my dad's from the Midwest and he doesn't say it, but I know other people, they say Wisconsin really strange.
Wisconsin? Sheboygan?
They say something like Wisconsin. The sk is really pronounced.
Yes. Hey, I don't know
what that is.
Not Wisconsin, but Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wisconsin.
Something like that. So, and the best part, so here's also we're playing Iowa. Iowa State, excuse me, Nevada is. And oh wait, hold on. Nick Duncan gave us a retweet. What's this about? Hold on a second. What's going on here? Oh, because they're playing Utah. Oh, I could go to that game. I should see if I should go to that game.
What's Nick Duncan doing?
Oh, it's just he was on the photo basically saying when one door closes, another one opens. We retweeted something. I thought he retweeted us, but it's just saying postseason basketball. We'll get to that later. I actually may go to that game because it's an 8 o'clock tip and I'm right around the corner. So, and I work for the company that broadcasts the game, so I could probably just walk on in. So
awesome.
I might do that. And I could show him, take him to the best pizza place around, the Pie Pizzeria. We could walk there if you want, Nick. It's close enough from the basketball arena to get there. We could have share a pie before you head home.
Oh, you think he's sharing? I don't know if he's going to share it.
Hey, they have – you look this up when we're done. The Pie Pizzeria in Salt Lake. It's right by the university. They have a pie. Oh, I need to look at that. It's like a good – no, they have giant pie. Trust me. Hold on, like I'm talking like 28 inches or something.
What?
I gotta pull up right now. I gotta see her. Hold on, I haven't been there a while because it's not near me, but I need to see the exact size. Like I see pictures, people can't get it through their doors, so they have to like go through the garage or cut it in half or something. Yes, hold on.
Okay, yeah, I was mistaken.
Hold on, let's see here. Pizza. I haven't been here in a while. Where's the pizza? Wings and bread, pie. I think. Hold on, menu. It's something huge, but it's like they have like the best toppings. They're like. It's. Do you like Papa John's pizza at all?
I can't say I've had it more than three times.
Okay, they put big, like they have large toppings on there. Essentially, that's how this place is, but more than that, like bigger toppings. More if basically if you're allergic to cheese, don't go there. Or milk, because there's enough cheese on there that'll make you sick.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's that much cheese, they put huge toppings. I'm trying to find the size. If I got to find it here. Build your own pie. No, giant.
That would be all over this.
23-inch pie, 16 slices.
Oh my gosh.
If you want a cheese-only pie, it's called the giant. It's $27.99. For, and if you each additional topping, it's $4 each. Gourmet topping, $6.49.
Oh my, and eat meals for like another week or something.
Like if I go there, like not to go off topic for food talk, but I'll get like a calzone, it's huge, or I'll get like two slices. But like if you get like just a regular medium, like six slices, it's huge. That's well enough for three people. More than, like you could have two pieces and be stuffed for how much it is for like the smallest one they have.
Do they have any like standard size pizza for normal people?
Well, I mean like a 12-inch. I mean yeah, 12-inch medium.
Okay.
But they're kind of thicker slices. It's like a thick crust pizza. They put a lot of cheese on there, so it's like real hearty and full filling. So mm-hmm. like it's like two slices is very plenty. But I just kind of thought of that. We can go get some pie after the game.
That would be Nick Duncan's spot. I can already tell.
That would be, I need to, maybe I'll tweet Adam's like, hey, check this out. So here's with the game, Iowa State, we have a bunch of SB Nation sites on here. So you go to Wide Right Natty Light. Yes, that's their official website name. It's been on for a while. They are jokers. They like to joke a lot. They like to have fun. And so they had a little conversation on Twitter, if I could find it. Here we go. They did earlier with Matt, is just a, you should find it. They basically did like replies and GIFs essentially for an hour.
Nice. That's good. That's quality content.
Quality. And so two things about that. Where's the first one? There, we got a lot of interaction today, so we appreciate that. Okay. So we approve of this mess of this article they wrote, but do you guys know how to correct pronunciation of Nevada, which you already did? They go Las Vegas, and they spell it LOSSVAY-GAS, Las Vegas.
Wow,
Las Vegas. And so the reason behind that is because the article they wrote, which was hilarious, and I'm glad they did this. Their tweet: Nevada was one of the best teams in the heart of Iowa Conference this season, and will be a formidable opponent. It's like, wait, what's the heart of Iowa Conference? Well. We found it. It took me a while to find it. Their website is like a, I don't know how to describe this. It's like a fifth grader made, I'm assuming. Let's say it's potentially made by one of their high school students because it looks pretty bad, but it goes, welcome to the Heart of Iowa Conference. The Heart of Iowa Conference prides itself on being one of the premier high school conferences in the state of Iowa, comprised of 14 large culturally diverse high schools located in Iowa. Enrollment, pretty big size high schools, 1,200 to 2,500. So they put an article, a decent amount of article, because it's timely too. They had the all-conference team from Nevada basketball, their Twitter handle, Nevada Cubs B-ball, on March 8th. So just a couple days ago. they basically go on to break down that team a little bit, put their record in there, how they had a first team, second team, honorable mention. Basically, their starting five got an award. So they go into an article about that.
This is good. They have one guy on the first team and two guys on the second team. Oh my gosh, this is good.
It's hilarious. Like ISU needs to be careful not to overlook the Cubs after starting their losing 4 of 6 games. Nevada finished 13-4. Or would they call this Nevada? Like how would they pronounce this team name though? If it's Nevada basketball, would it be not the proper pronunciation?
It would have to be, right?
I don't know. Nevada, not Nevada. Or Nevada, I mean. Dang it. It'll say somebody...
be Nevada, wouldn't it?
Nevada, yeah, Nevada basketball, yeah. And here's, like, obviously fake quote. Guys, I think you got the wrong team, Coach Henson wrongly suggested. Leave me alone. How'd you even find my house? I'm calling the cops. So this is...
Gosh.
They're brilliant. They do lots of weird stuff, funny stuff. So we probably, maybe we'll do a Q&A and have some fun with it because we'll definitely bring this up again, but... On the serious side, a lot of teams like are saying like this could be a potential like final four, like winning a couple games because it's a 5-12 game, so we know what that means. You're gonna take the 5-12, right? You're gonna take the 12 half the time, right?
Yeah, I don't have the percentages right in front of me. I want to say 5 seeds win maybe 65% of the time, which seems good, but when you compare it to 6 seeds and compare it to 4 seeds, it's definitely an outlier, so you never know what could happen. And usually the 4 seeds come out of the Sweet 16.
There could be some. I don't know. Like, who are – I should pull up here, like, the 12 seeds. Like, Nevada has, like, an RPI. Their RPI, did it finish at 29?
Yeah, I think it was – I'm pretty sure it was 29. I saw this morning.
Yeah, I saw this morning 29. I don't know if it went up one or two after today's games. Probably not. But, like, Scott Van Pelt, Seth Davis, they're all saying watch out for Nevada as a 5-12 upset, possibly Sweet 16. Or, hey, how would you like a Purdue-Nevada matchup round two?
Oh, man. You know, it would be so hard for me to stay unbiased, but that would be an awesome game just from a viewer's perspective, even though I wouldn't be able to watch the game from a viewer's perspective. But
a couple of big men. It's a pretty good NBA guys in the front court for both teams.
Yeah,
so.
And two teams that can shoot the three ball as well as any in the country. So
what is it?
I'm hoping
Caleb,
that's the case.
What's the big guy from Purdue? Caleb Swinger?
Caleb Swanigan.
Swanigan, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think he was a UNLV target at some point, but – we'll put stuff, like, here's what we're doing. Like, we're kind of joking around, BSing. There's just so much stuff going on. We're looking into the teams. That's why we joked about the Nevada thing. Looking at where they're ranked, like, kind of the top 68, who put them where. Talking about the Nevada. I'm going to call them the Nevada Cubs. Is that a good way to go with it?
I like that.
The
yeah.
Nevada Cubs.
That's good.
But,
that was hilarious.
Like, that, they are good. Go read, there's a little bit more to it. Go read it. They, like, really break down the team. This player did this. They went on the winning streak of this. They won the tournament, or they won this or did that. But seriously, for Nevada, they've won 9 in a row. They're a team, like, if you go back and listen to a couple of shows before, I always felt it'd be them or Boise. I shouldn't have written off CSU, but I kind of did earlier than I should have. But with the way Nevada plays, their team, like, we've seen them all year, they're a good enough team where they go on to run, which they're doing now, to win a couple games. Like, they have two NBA players on this roster. And typically, if you're going to make a run or get an upset, you're going to have multiple future pros. And I think they have two NBA players on this roster.
I think I could tell from the get-go that, at the very least, this Nevada team would contend for the Mountain West title. And just the roster itself, even though they only play six guys consistently, the talent that they put on the court is fantastic. They have guys that are able to shoot the three, that are really athletic, which is not something you typically see from a mid-major. And I, even though Iowa State's a really good team, and you said Norlander has them, what did you say, 11th?
11, yeah, 11.
Yeah, I think this is still a good draw because as much as I like Purdue, I am not completely sold. They've been inconsistent, and Iowa State has too. I'm not guaranteeing that Nevada comes out to Sweet 16 and all, but there are much worse draws that the Wolfpack could have gotten. So I think that they should be pretty content with their situation. And they also could have traveled all the way to Orlando. So going from Reno to Milwaukee is not bad at all.
It's reasonable. Yeah, looking at, I got it right here. Iowa State under the committee, they have them as number 20 team overall.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is the highest five seed. Right. No, the lowest five seed, sorry. Yeah, that's right. My math's right there. So, like, with these teams, you still there with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so it got really quiet. I thought I just dropped off for a minute. Sorry. Okay, the Big 12, like, honestly, is the Big 12 that great of a conference?
It's hard to gauge the Big 12 because the teams beat up on each other so much, like the Big 10. But it's a good conference. I think it's better than the ACC.
It's good, like after Kansas, who, like, Texas wasn't that great this year. I don't even, who was the highest? I'm trying to see who the highest RPI after Kansas was.
So you got Kansas.
Baylor was pretty. Baylor, I guess they dropped off a bit because they were pretty good for most
shaky,
of the year.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't. I know you like West Virginia. Their RPI was 21. The Iowa State, not that RPI matters. 23-10. Here's the thing that'll be interesting in this game. Like, road neutral splits, Iowa State wasn't great. They're 11-7, 5-6 in road games, 6-1 neutral. I don't know all the neutral games splits they had overall, but when you look at Nevada, they were much better road. Well, almost 12-5 road neutral games, and so maybe that could be an advantage. They play better away from home, and we know that. I'm not saying the Big 12 road games are tough. Going to Fog Island to play, going to where you play, but Baylor's a good team. Going to University of Texas to play. Texas, a tough way to get out there. Just a long road trip to get to, not easy to get to. But in the Mountain West, like, road games are tough everywhere. And so I'm wondering if that could be a key factor if you're debating on, because the 5-12, that's trendy, upset, all that fun stuff. They're not far apart. Like, even seeing a 13 get a victory is not that, shouldn't be that rare or surprising. especially if you trust the RPI, if you trust what KenPom, all that stuff is, these teams are relatively close overall. And Iowa State playing not that great on the road, that could be a thing where a reason you'd want to take Nevada instead.
Yeah, it's possible. You know that with the fans showing up for the Purdue-Vermont game, they'll be rooting for an upset. So you have Catamounts. You always have to factor that in. So there will definitely be a decent Nevada contingency in the crowd, which always helps, especially when you're facing off a team like Iowa State that's not too far from home in Milwaukee.
So, yeah, do you know how far it is, the distance between the two?
I can pull up real quick. I had a huge table with every single potential location. I think that was their closest here. I have the location right here.
I think it'd have to be because there's, like I said, there's Orlando, there's Salt Lake, there's
closest. Tulsa's 496, Indianapolis is 492. So they're fairly close. And Nevada is, looks like, I don't know if I have it on here. Obviously it's a much further distance, but Iowa State's pretty close to home.
I made a mistake. I'm a dummy. I thought somebody said that same Dante Brent was the same one. I'm a dummy. It's not. It's the same name. I apologize for people who were yelling at me. Because I'm like,
didn't Chris Murray say something about that though?
Well, he put it right here. Like I'm on his page. He wrote something up now. He's like, Dante Burton is one of the best players in Wolfpack history, and Dante Burton will be on the court for this game. Only won't play for Nevada. Iowa State's Dante Burton began his career at Marquette before transferring to the Cyclones. That's where I saw it too. Maybe he just compared it just to be fun or whatever, just to compare. Like, hey, look at this interesting fact. I thought he transferred, but I'm probably wrong. So those who were yelling at me, get off me. Sorry.
I was confused by what he was meaning there, but
yeah, me too.
I guess we get it now.
And so, like, here's a couple of things you need to know about. Like, we'll dive into this game more because there's a lot more research before I actually know the team. Because, like I said, I don't watch too much Big 12 basketball. You know, like, it's like if you're whatever, and in this tournament, unless it's a team you've played before or even nearby, doing this as quickly, I don't watch enough basketball. Say, hey, Iowa State's that good. I know they have a guard who's really good, All American guard actually, Monte Morris. There, they had won the Big 12 tournament. They have beaten good teams. Like, they beat Kansas and Baylor this show already, and that's a big deal. Where the best game for Nevada was St. Mary's opening night. They also ended up by double digits.
Yeah, I mean, Nevada has the work cut out for them. I've seen a handful of Iowa State games this year. Obviously not enough to get a full assessment of the team, but they can play. They've had some good wins this year. They've also had a few confusing losses. They lost to Vanderbilt on the road, which made the tournament, as we know, but they've given up and down. So I know. And then they've also lost to TCU and Iowa on the road too. So as you mentioned, they've been a little bit questionable on the road. So see what happens with that.
Here's also an interesting thing too. Like, here are two things. Like, you could go plus or minus on experience. This is their first tournament for Nevada in 7 years, or 10 years actually, in 07. Musselman has never been to NCAA tournament as a head coach. But here's the thing. He has also NBA experience. He's coached around. Because you can play it two ways. You could say, Iowa State's been there 5 years in a row. They've been there. They know what it takes. They're not nervous. Nevada players, whatever. We're here. We made it. Let's just have fun and play basketball. And if their style goes that way, I can see them running away with this game by maybe 10 points. Not necessarily it's run possible. Away, but yeah. Winning comfortably for their style of play with alley-oops, fast breaks, going down and stopping for a quick three-pointer just because.
Yeah, and Musselman keeps his guys loose, too. We know that. We've seen him in interviews.
Shirtless must happen.
I was just gonna mention that. But the way he coaches is really fun because he keeps his guys able to keep their own personalities. Steve Prohm is a second-year coach for Iowa State, so it's not like he has a ton of experience in the tournament either, although Cyclones made the Sweet 16 last year. Shout out to Purdue losing the first round of Little Rock, helping them out along the way. So Prohm is new there, and Musselman's been around the game for as long as we can remember. One other thing, non-coaching related in terms of experience, Iowa State, their starting lineup, Monte Morris is a senior, Naz Long is a senior, Matt Thomas is a senior, Deontay Burton is a senior, and Solomon Young is a freshman, but he also shares some time with Nick Weiler-Babb, who's a sophomore. So
it's a big deal.
This is one of the top five teams in terms of experience in the country. So they won't be phased either. And they play mostly one lineup as far as I can see right now. So they have a lot of similarities to Nevada, but they also have a lot of differences, and I think that is probably where the game will be decided.
Yeah, this game right now, really quick, Iowa State's only 6.5-point favorite. And here's two more facts. Most of these are from Chris Murray, so check his article out. I'll probably link to this. I'm going to do a kind of a daily hike or whatever post I do, and put a ton of info today throughout the week, so look out for that. Probably post it like early every morning this week, just to, so much info won't be all tomorrow because it's just so much what's going out there and me finding stuff too. But two things he found, like he goes in this team. There is an Iowa State transfer on the Nevada team sitting out this year. Hollis Cook. So there could be a little bit there, especially with them having, he played for the same coach there last year, and with four seniors starting, he's familiar with the team. So there can be, you don't want to rely on that too much, but there are some tips or tricks you can learn from that guy about certain things for each player's tendencies, since he's around them for quite a while, at least a 1 year. And so, and Musk already spent like at least 5 minutes chatting with them about this team. So that's a pretty big deal. And then also rebounding. We see what Cameron Oliver does. He only scored 4 points in the title game, but had 14 rebounds. He's had, what is it, does he average a double-double, I'm assuming, or if not, very close?
I think he does. Yeah, I think he and Imogbo are the only ones in the conference this year to average a double-double.
So Iowa State's 295 in the nation rebounding out of 351 of teams. They're a minus 3.6. Well, Nevada's a 3.9.
And not only that, they're not a very good rebounding team, as you said. They also don't have much size up front. Their power forward, 6'5", 250. And I want to say Marcus Marshall, who's a shooting guard for Nevada, he's right around there. He's about 6'4". DJ Fenner, who's the three guy for Nevada, he's 6'6". So in terms of size, Nevada completely outsizes Iowa, which is especially strange for a game featuring a power conference for a mid-major, because you rarely see mid-major teams with far more size than Power 6 teams, but that's the case in this matchup.
Yeah, the Burton is their leading rebounder, just over 5 per game.
Wow.
And they only use two rotational players bigger than 6'5", so you're correct. So here's the... So here's this game. Oh man, have you filled out the bracket yet at all? Have you done that?
I've looked at it a little bit, but I want to wait to really digest all the numbers and really see what, see what people are saying to do the opposite of it. I'll see what Barkley does, and then I'll just flip every pick that he has, and I'll probably end up with a few million dollars.
The good old Chuck. But yeah, this like I've looked at no brackets. I've been busy doing some articles, doing some research, doing some other stuff around the house. I've looked at a few Nevada things, looked at some NIT stuff. We'll discuss some NIT in a moment here, but I hear saw on Twitter, Seth Davis likes Nevada. Scott Van Pelt likes Nevada. I'll probably post that in the article tomorrow about what he said. I would have downloaded it to have you guys listen to it, but I didn't have time to do that. But I, like you said, size is a big deal. Iowa State's really good at shooting 3-point shots, so because they're 12th in the nation. So if they get hot from threes, that could counteract if they're out-rebounded by 10. Because that difference is a 7.7 difference rebounding. The minus 3.6 to plus 3.9. So there could be, so if Nevada out-rebounds them by 8, but Iowa State goes 12 of 28 from 3-point range, something ridiculous like that within their range, that'll counteract any fast break points or quick buckets they get from second chance points too.
Yeah, and one other thing, one of the things that I look at when I'm trying to decide on upsets, and I'll send you this article when I find it. I read that a few weeks ago. When you see teams that are seeded 12th or worst, when they pull up upsets, it's typically because they add the number of attempts they can shoot the basketball. It makes sense. But that comes in terms of taking care of the basketball, forcing turnovers, and getting offensive rebounds. And if Nevada plays anything like they did in the second half against Colorado State, turning the ball over and over again, that's going to be extremely problematic, because the Cyclones, they're third in the country in turnover percentage, so they rarely turn over the basketball, and that's especially due to Monte Morris, the senior guard, who's as good as anyone in the country. So the Wolfpack have to take care of the basketball, and they have to crash the boards because they have a major size advantage, so they have to really take advantage of that.
One thing as well, best in the country, 14% turnover. What's turnover percentage? Do you know what that means, or what that consists of?
Yeah, so that's just the number of possessions that you turn the basketball over. And so for your own turnover percentage, how often you turn over, and then opponents is how often opponents turn over.
Oh, the difference, essentially?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're number one in the country in turnover percentage.
Gotta take care of the basketball.
Yes, do not give up those buckets. And I tried to pull up this article here about how Iowa State can make weekend two, but apparently... Oh, I got an error message here. That's... Oh, man. Apparently... Ugh. Page not found. Oh, here it is. Iowa State, this is from, let me guess, Myron Metcalf, Kev from ESPN, does pretty good stuff for their hoop stuff. He, winners of the weekend, they go winners, like winners, whatever, losers, that type of quick hit stuff. So they mentioned Iowa State, one of the hottest teams in the country, has experience in Milwaukee, as we stated. If they get past Purdue, they go to Kansas City, so obviously Big 12 tournament there, a lot of good fans come there. Could play Kansas again.
That'd be tough.
They don't mention, I guess their winner at this point is because of they're playing well and the geography, not necessarily, well, I guess three things, playing well, experience advantage, and location. This doesn't give me too much confidence in picking Iowa State's Week 16 based on that if I'm just scrolling around and reading random stuff off the internet. But
yeah, one other thing I found, Chris Foreman, he does a lot of writing for Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned the four teams that are in this pod, Purdue, Vermont, Iowa State, and Nevada, since February, they're combined 39-6. So it's wide open. I think this pod's as wide open as any as you'll find in this tournament this year. Haslametrics, he has Nevada second in the country in terms of momentum, playing the best basketball they've played all year. Iowa State's 19. So all four of these teams are playing exceptionally right now, and I think that's what makes this wide open. I would be surprised if both four and five seeds advance to the round of 32, just because Vermont and Nevada have played really well the last few weeks.
So you think at least one of those two will get, there'll be a double-digit seed, either one of those teams will move on?
I think to the round of 32, either Nevada or Vermont, not both, but I think one of them will probably advance.
Who would you, at this moment, give that edge to?
I would probably give it to Nevada. I think that's because Nevada and Iowa State match up pretty well. They play similar styles. I think Purdue will be able to take care of Vermont. They have a lot of size up front and shoot the basketball really well. I saw Vermont play the other day. I wasn't all that impressed. Obviously not knowing that Vermont would match up against Purdue, but I think Boilers should have enough to win that first game.
All right, so let's get to some NIT stuff a little bit. Well, I guess we ended the whimper, whatever. NIT, shoot, I had the bracket. Oh, I had the bracket somewhere just in front of me. I know they got new rules. We'll discuss that. Here we go. Cal, Syracuse, Iowa. I like how Syracuse is playing Greensboro. That's exciting.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Okay, bracket loading. I know. Well, here's what we do know. Boise State's playing at Utah. That's Tuesday night, I believe. Am I correct on that?
I don't know. I haven't looked at that yet, but that would be a quick turnaround.
I think it's March 14th. Hold on. I have it here. Actually, hold on. Let me go to CBS's website because they have it, but they've actually do stuff like that. But you had Colorado State is hosting as a 4 seed versus College of Charleston. Oh, man, I got too many tabs open here, folks. Pen and paper goes a long way sometimes to write something down.
Underrated.
So it's right in front of you. I have like 15 tabs open, and half of them I don't need. A lot of this Midwest stuff now, but keep that one open. But yeah, you have, here we go. I'll go in order really quick. Cal, Bakersfield, no. Colorado State. Yeah, College of Charleston. That's a ESPN 3, March 14th, 7 o'clock local time there. That's a Tuesday night because today's the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Tuesday night. Then you have Utah Boise State up in Salt Lake City. That's the 14th as well. 8 p.m. local tip there in Utah on ESPNU. And then we have Fresno State TCU. That's the 15th. And then there was... Wait, I thought San Diego State got in. Did they not get in?
No, STSU missed. Yeah, those are the only teams listed here. Yeah.
I thought I saw that.
SC New Mexico both missed.
Well, I kind of figured New Mexico would miss. Just because I figured the winner of Fresno, New Mexico, would get in. All right, they do have the CBI now. So let me go take a quick look at that really quick. Hold on. I think they would have turned down the CBI, I'm assuming. 16-team bracket. Let's see what we got here. At least they put theirs on Twitter. It's nicer. The College B-Bank Invitational. Sorry about the website. Here's a PNG of the bracket. Best of luck to all teams. That's their Twitter there. And I like
that's the what they said.
Yes, they go, sorry about the website. Here is the PNG bracket. Okay. Oh, Wild
Meat. That's some Vegas 16 stuff right there.
It's out. It's out. I got two interesting pieces of news here. Well, one personal, one for the site. Wyoming is in the bracket. Aztecs must have declined because I'm assuming, because these are pay to play brackets now. The CBI and CIT. And so Wyoming, Eastern Washington, dang, they need, I need to get, jeez, they can't make this font any smaller on Twitter. 3:15. 9 Eastern. I'm assuming it's at Eastern Washington.
I would think so, right?
You just can't tell. Yeah, because
I think Wyoming's hosting that. I'm pretty sure I saw that bracket through my feed. I think Wyoming's hosting.
I guess maybe Bowl Team's hosting. I guess that makes sense, Bowl Team. And then personal notes, which is a work thing for me. Utah Valley's in the tournament. Lovely.
Hey, there we go.
They got to go. That's
overtime.
I want to punch that game in the face. Quadruple overtime the other night. Yeah, they're going. Yeah, so that's it's a road game, Georgia Southern. So that just means I get a few bucks because I produce a radio game. It's exciting. Utah Valley basketball. Mark Pope, trust me, you heard it here first. He'll be a big time head coach somewhere.
Mark Pope
of UVU, yes. Telling you.
How many years has he been there?
This is year two.
Okay.
Last year had a lot of transfers. Not healthy. Had to play like very minimal bench. This year, they had one great player who went to Montana last year. Like, BYU really wanted him, but he's like, I'm going to Montana or Montana State. Somehow the scholarship wasn't honored or grades or something, and so he couldn't even come back. But they beat BYU this year. They nearly beat Bakersfield in that game the other night in the WAC semis. They struggled a bit this year, but they're an exciting team to watch. If you could somehow watch that game, they shoot a lot of three-pointers. They're a fast-paced team.
Yeah, that's fun.
But I'm telling you, if he gets something together, like, next year, like, here's what would be a pretty cool transition. Him going to... Some people are saying he'll take over Dave Rose for BYU eventually, but I don't see Dave Rose leaving anytime soon. But how would you? I would love Mark Pope. Mark Pope essentially is a clone of Musselman, except for Mark Pope is about 2 feet taller than Musselman. Because Pope, he played at Kentucky. I think he's in the NBA for a while, and he's like a center, like 6'11 or something. He's also the coach. This is just off topic. I do their coaches show every week. And you may have saw this if you read Mid-Major Madness. I sent them over the link to this. But the final coaches show, I don't think anybody took him up on this because there's never a result. Had you beat him in ping pong or his daughters in foosball, he would have paid for your travel, or not travel, but hotel stay at the WAC tournament in Vegas.
What?
So he goes off. They did their coaches show from a cherry picker, like the things that when you fix streetlights or build window washer stuff at the top of buildings. They did that one day at the Heisek and go did their radio show from there.
Oh my goodness. I need to do some research on this guy. He sounds like an interesting person.
Go read the midmajormadness.com article. He also suggests doing he's a Bachelor fan. I don't get why sports people like it, as is his whole team. And so he's like, next year maybe we'll do some sort of Bachelor thing for basketball at the end of the games.
Oh my goodness.
But I'm telling you, he's like Musselman. He's that type of guy. But if he gets something going, he could move on to a good coach. So it'd be pretty cool if he were to go to Nevada or something like that. But it's just a personal note on my side. So I guess I better get on Wyoming coverage since they're in the CBI.
Gotta love the CBI. Man,
pay to play.
I miss the Vegas 16 or Vegas 8.
Do you really?
Vegas
really?
4, Vegas 2.
Do you really?
Oh, man. It was funny. I thought their Twitter account was funny.
Which one? Vegas 16?
The Vegas 16. They changed their Twitter account to like Vegas 8, and they're saying their Twitter account lives on and all this stuff. They obviously have some sense of humor.
Is it still active, Vegas 8?
It is, yeah. Someone tweeted it from it the other day.
Okay, one last thing on the NIT. We're not going to break down these games. We'll do some previews on the site, but don't worry about too much on that. Let's just say Boise State could beat Utah easily because Utes are up and down. Very up and down, I'll say. Let's just make predictions real quick. I say Boise wins, CSU beats Charleston, and what was the other one, Fresno, TCU?
Yeah, that was Fresno's TCU. Mm-hmm.
Road game, so TCU, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going Utah over Boise. I know you've been tough on them, and they've been up and down, like you said. KenPom likes them by 8. I think Charleston's tough for CSU. Charleston beat Boise early in the year, actually, in the Charleston Classic, so they've had some success against the conference. I'll go CSU, and then I'll go TCU over Fresno, because that's at home.
Okay. No, Fresno's on the... Oh, wait, sorry, TCU over Fresno, sorry. I thought he said something else.
Yeah, TCU's at home, right?
It is. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought you said something else. Sorry. I almost read the fake rule. Somebody goes, is this real? Because NIT, here's fake rules somebody put out, make it, take it after three-pointers. If a player goes, Kobe, it makes a shot and a game automatically
ends. Man, can you imagine playing against Nevada with those rules?
No kidding. OG Rocket Jock, 25-point shot is introduced. And teams are allowed to select one fan in attendance to join the roster.
Yes. Oh, that would be awesome.
But there is. Hold on, let me grab the official new rules. Hold on a second here. Blah, 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 blah. Where are they at?
I saw. Segment.
Is that what they're calling it? Not quarters?
Nope, it's segments now, apparently, because quarters just makes too much sense.
Why do you have to make things complicated, NCAA?
I don't know.
I saw the rules here. Where did they go? Do you have them in front of you? Because I thought I had them.
I saw them earlier.
There's a 20-second shot clock. It's like the NBA. If there's a reset on your half of the court, instead of getting a full new shot clock, you get a 20-second shot clock, which is fine.
Do it 20-second shot clock for the whole game?
No. Like if it goes, say it's goes out of bounds on the other team on your half of the court, instead of getting a full reset, it goes to 20. At least that's my understanding.
No, that's a good rule. Yeah, that's decent.
And then, okay, here's exactly what it is I found here, because I might be speaking out of turn here. Okay, new rules. Okay, experimental rules. Instead of 20-minute halves, they'll have blah, 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 blah. These rules break down. Okay, fouls. They break. I get. Okay. Oh, crap. CBS. Lovely. Sorry, autoplay. No, they're not. The reason. Do you know why it's called segments? Because they're not doing like the women's game. They're just resetting fouls after every 10 minutes. But it's still a 20-minute half.
Once.
So how long are these games going to last when they have to recalculate fouls? How long is that going to add to the game?
So player fouls reset too?
Well, not like the team, no team fouls. So like bonus, double bonus.
Oh, that's going to slow down the games a ton.
Yeah, like if you, I guess they mean less free throws. It could be the case, but if you, okay, here's what it says basically. Man. 2 20-minute halves, these rules break down the accumulation of team fouls into 10-minute segments, provided a snapshot of what a college game can be in 4 quarters. Why not just do 4 quarters? The biggest change, The biggest change to take effect is a it's just stupid. Resetting team fouls to zero at that 10-minute period, or excuse me, segment, air quotes with me, segments. In these NIT games, after a team commits its fifth personal foul or technical foul in each 10-minute segment, and all fouls after that, which makes no sense there, the other team will shoot 2 free throws. Does that make sense to you?
I guess so, but I don't know why you need to implement these rules. It's confusing. Like, if you want to find out how a college basketball game is played with 4 quarters, I have a good idea.
Play 4 quarters?
Just make the game 4 quarters.
I know. Yeah, let me read that again. So in these NIT games, after a team commits its fifth personal or technical foul in each 10-minute segment, and all fouls after that, the other team will shoot 2 free throws. So if you have 5 fouls, foul 6, 7, 8, 9, you get 2 free double bonus essentially until the 10-minute mark or 9:59 mark.
That's strange to me because I understand the thought process, because if you're making the game essentially into quarters and say, okay, so the first 10 minutes are going to run pretty smoothly. There's a highly unlikely that a team's already going to be in the bonus after 10 minutes. And then that second quarter of the half would be slowed down.
Excuse me, segment.
Oh, my bad. I need to get the learning curve down. Yeah, segment. Whew. Those NIT rules. But I get it, because you kind of want to reset at the end of a segment, and then it's not slowed down for the following segment, I guess. But yeah, it's a little bizarre, because then if you're making the bonus essentially 5 fouls, that's more than 3 per 20 minutes than you would have a normal college game, because it's 7 to get into the bonus in the college game. Yeah. And now it's 10. So that seems like it would slow down the game a lot more.
We'll see. Because 5 fouls can happen pretty quickly. Because if you think about it, it's 10 fouls. Because I guess they're thinking is, because 10 fouls is double bonus. So they're just cutting that in half and removing the 1 and 1.
It makes sense. I'd like to see it in action, though. But
there's going to be confusion by officials and refs, how many fouls, what free throws you're doing.
yeah.
And the other change, only two real changes. The other one, the shot clock will be reset to 20 instead of 30 when the ball is inbounded in the front court.
That, yeah.
So I'm guessing a missed shot out of bounds, you get it 20 seconds, right? Without a change of possession?
I think so. And after a foul that is in the bonus, I'm pretty sure.
That too, yeah, foul, like just an inbounds foul. Mm-hmm. All right, so after I think doesn't the NBA do that, but they do like I think 14 seconds.
Yeah, it's 14.
So you take 10 seconds off. So that's their thinking. So it's a good thing we butchered you on the show there to go through those rules. But anything else we need to discuss about? We're gonna do this again on Tuesday with Brandon, our Nevada guy, to talk about this matchup here. Anything else we need to know? Final thoughts?
I think that's about it. Go fill out some brackets. Come join our bracket pool, right?
Yahoo. Yes, we're on Yahoo. So check out a Yahoo bracket. They'll be posted in the morning. There's a post right now. Probably no prizes, but bragging rights. Let's say this. Do we say something? If you beat Eli, he'll give you a virtual high five?
Yes, there we go. Hey, is there anything better than bragging rights? Because those last forever. Those are invaluable.
Exactly. All right, so that's our show for tonight. We've got a good time frame. And before we go, let's for those Iowa State people, should we give them one last treat?
Sounds good.
Is it the Cubs? Is that the team we're going to be actually? Should we rename this team the Nevada Cubs?
Yes. Nevada. Yeah, maybe I'll try to work with some Photoshop or something.
Nevada.
Yeah, here we go. Here's how you say it, guys. Oh, wait. Hold on. I paused it.
Nevada. Nevada.
Duh. Duh. Nevada.
Nevada.
Duh. Maybe I'll do that too. Maybe I'll make. I got this new program. I use Canva.com. I use that since I don't technically have Photoshop, or I don't, because that's a pretty cool. It's kind of a template thing. So maybe I'll do something with the Nevada Cubs, or Nevada. Yeah, I guess if we're doing it, it's the Nevada Cubs. If they're talking about it's the Nevada Cubs, or
I should send them a tweet or something. Nevada.
Yeah, when we do it, it's the Nevada Cubs. They do it, it's the Nevada Cubs. All right, so check out our show, mwcconnection.com, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast app. And normally we end with we're biased against your team, but we don't want to be biased this week because somebody was upset I didn't say it last time when we did a show. Like, where was the bias against your team? How about we're biased? We're biased for our team. Is that good enough to say for Nevada? We're biased.
Yeah, and we're biased for our team. I think we're also biased for our. What, geographical concerns or something like that?
Sure. Let's just hope you get March Madness app is geo-free across the world.
Oh, man. I'm going to lose sleep over that.
At least you can get some highlights, right?
See? And you know what? I'm following enough people on Twitter. I'll see what's going on.
Just ask somebody to Periscope it, man. Come on.
Yeah. I'll get four of my friends put their phone in front of separate channels and make it work from there.
Or actually, let me ask you this. Do you have a paid TV provider you're part of? DirecTV,
yes,
Comcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Comcast.
I don't know how Comcast does. Can't you download stuff to your DVR then to your phone?
I don't know. I've never even really used DVR before.
Okay. Because DirecTV, you can, like, if anything it's on your DVR, you could stream it on your phone. So I'm saying but I'll take up a ton of space on your DVR because how many games are there?
Yeah, there's a ton. 63, right?
How come there's not a channel? This is an idea that should happen. You got the Red Zone, you got the Goal Line channel, you got the Premier League channel for highlights.
I see where you're going with
Where's the March Madness channel for that?
Oh my gosh,
Turner, you're missing out, right?
That is perfect. That's a dream come true right there.
That's all you need, like, because I watched the college football goal line. It's kind of a lot of games because college football is so many. But I'll tune into that. I have the Red Zone channel. If my Cowboys aren't playing, I'll watch that for a little while, but. Where is it for March Madness?
Red Zone for March Madness would be just the pinnacle of sports television.
The Buzzer Beater channel, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Give me a job, Turner. It solved your problems. I'll give you you'll make more money back for paying the NCAA billions of dollars for this package.
Oh yeah.
And what you can do? Here's what you can really do: stick it on True TV or something. Once their game's over, they don't have that many. I don't know. I'm just
exactly.
Million
wishful thinking.
Not as this is like a $1 billion idea. Come on, not a $1 million idea.
Oh, it's going to generate more than that.
All right, so that is the end of our show. So we'll have another show Tuesday. We'll talk about more NCAA, maybe a little NIT, see what's going on. But Eli, thank you for joining us. We'll have some stuff up on the site at least when you're in the country. But we'll see you guys next time. And